life in the South in search of a better future for their families. Money was scarce, but folks were rich in Southern manners and hospitality, placing great importance on family, friends, and above all, God. While collectively facing a plethora of social issues, our surprisingly close and caring community was strengthened by a shared determination to achieve a better life. It was customary to greet each other with a, "What's happening, brother?" or, "How are you, sister?" whether we knew each other or not. People were genuinely concerned about one another's welfare and determined to help out where they could, especially when it came to the youth. In return, the kids coming up during that time were expected to treat adults with respect. The grown-ups in the neighborhood moved through each day with unspoken unity. If a kid got into a bit of mischief, there was nowhere to hide. Grown folks had no issue with correcting a child's behavior, especially if they knew the parents were at work earning disproportionately low wages as they tried to provide a better future for their family. No one had to remind us how it takes a village to raise a child. That was standard practice. On a street east of Lincoln High School, I loved the juxtaposition of the chickens and goats grazing in their pens as the skyscraper landscape framed their background. Near the theater on Monticello Avenue, the smells of fried fish and smoked barbecued chicken, beef, and pork wafted through the air. The row houses in the alley behind Ingerson Place were numbered 1 through 8 on one side of the street, with a fence running just opposite. There were garbage cans beside every door. When I was old enough, I had a job of taking those cans to the end of the alley for our neighbors. I stacked them one on top of another and returned them to their respective places after the Tuesday collection. We lived in one of those row houses, next door to my cousins, and there was an abandoned lumberyard just behind it. Snapping turtles that had been fished out of the lakes at Lincoln Park were strung up on a line above an overgrown field of untamed Bermuda grass, discarded furniture, and rusted-out refrigerators. Once completely drained of blood, the turtles were deshelled and cooked at neighborhood barbecues. In our home, basic comforts like heat and hot water were never guaranteed. To keep the pipes from freezing in the winter, we had to leave the cold water taps open and trickling. Drip, 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 all night long. In the living room that doubled as a bedroom for my parents and sister, there was the menacing stove where the occasional burning ember would escape and sear an everlasting mark in the battered wood floor. It was the kind of stove we'd seen in Western movies. Some cowboy striking a match on the sole of his boot to get the fire started. My brother and I shared a tiny room that was no larger than a walk-in closet. The walls of our house were sparse, and the only picture that always remained was that of Jesus watching over our little family. Telephone communication consisted of a single party line that was shared among all the houses on the block. We followed the honor system. If someone was using the phone line, we hung up immediately so as not to listen in on their conversation. If there was an emergency, we were allowed to politely ask if they could hang up so we could call for help. One of the things I loved about our home was that music was always playing. And from the beginning, I was totally and completely entranced. When the music came on, it probably looked like I was daydreaming. My mind enveloped in a separate reality of tones, beats, and melodies. I loved how my father would come home and walk up the steps to the bathroom singing the undulating jazz phrasing of Moody's Move for Love, because that meant he was in a good mood. It amazed me that such a tortured soul could possess such a wonderful, emotive singing voice. My mother's phonograph was in constant rotation as it filled the house with the sounds of Tito Puente, Eddie Palmieri, Tito Rodriguez, and others. Her love for that style of music was probably a byproduct of her Spanish-Portuguese bloodline mixed with German, African, and Native American. Like my father, she had a lovely voice and was an aspiring